Today, during our IBC webinar, we're going to look at using the infinite banking concept or cash value life insurance for college planning, which as we look at models and such, you will see that it is very similar to some past webinars that heavily focused on how policy loans work, using policy loans, repaying them, paying the interest only, not paying anything back. We're just going to specifically focus on more of a hypothetical situation of what things would look like if college planning or paying for a child's college is the goal and how a policy would specifically apply to that. So a couple bullet points we will touch on first is in any situation, if we're using a life insurance policy for college planning, if we're using it for real estate, for business, whatever it might be, what we are always going to look at first is maximizing the policy performance. The two items that must be consistent here. One, we want to make sure we're using one of the four major mutual companies, Mass, Guardian, New York Life, or Northwestern Mutual. And then the policy design is optimized. Again, a refresher on that. Money can go towards insurance premium or can be allocated directly towards cash, our paid up additions rider. And we want to optimize the splits that the companies will allow, provided we have it set up with the right riders and such. Another thing we will look at is utilizing a Guardian policy, since a lot of times with loan scenarios, we'll use a Mass Mutual non-direct recognition feature. There have been times we've used the Guardian direct recognition feature, but with the basic dividend option, today we're going to look at the index feature in particular to put a little bit of a different spin on that. So what we'll start with before we go any further is giving some details on that index feature, because it is a whole life insurance policy. So how it works, we're gonna pull up the Guardian software here. I'm just going to go through this very quickly, just so when we look at the illustration, the funding models, and then the loan models, the background here will certainly be very helpful. So how the indexed feature works is it is still a whole life policy with a fixed insurance expense and a guaranteed rate of 4%. The biggest takeaway with this is the guaranteed return of 4% will always outweigh my insurance expenses. So in an absolute worst case scenario with the whole life insurance policy, my values still go north. Whenever we hear the word indexed life insurance, typically what comes to mind is a universal life, which is not the case. The expenses will always outweigh the guaranteed rate. That's the key difference there. So what the indexed feature does, it gives us more earning potential, right? So if we have a guaranteed rate of 4%, if I elect the basic dividend option, which Guardian presently has a rate of 5.85%, what that means is they declared their surplus of 1.85, add the two together, it gives you 5.85. The index allocation feature here allows me to say, instead of receiving the basic dividend surplus, I still get the guarantee no matter what, I can choose to have some or all of my cash value. I can actually elect a percentage. I can make it 1% or 51. I can make it any percentage I want. I can have some tied to the index feature and some tied to the basic dividend that the company credits. Good to be aware of. It's also something I can switch year in and year out. I don't have to just pick one and that's it forever. A lot of people are picking zero now because the market's it's been high for a while, and just I think it's fears of a correction. It's something they can flip on after a crash occurs. So a couple of other pieces here. The cap rate is 12.5%. And the floor is the guaranteed rate is 4%. One item to mention is when we turn on the index feature, whatever portion of cash we have linked to it, there is a 2% charge. So the biggest drawback to this is if I turn it on and the market bottoms out or produces nothing, I still have a guarantee of 4, but there's a 2% charge. So my net guarantee would be what? 4%. And it's easy to show that in the guarantees and such. There's more to the index feature. I don't want to go into it in detail because this webinar is designed, the purpose of this is to go through college planning. Just because we're going to use the index feature here to demonstrate the returns and such, I wanted to provide a little bit of background so when we look at the illustrations, they make sense. So we've got the index feature here. We're going to use a policy with a direct recognition treatment and the index feature instead of our basic non-direct recognition. This way we can see different options instead of just hearing short tidbits and articles online. And then what we're going to do is compare a policy that one we will maximize for growth. We're going to look at that exact same account and illustrate what does the policy look like, one, if I just let it sit and grow. Two, if I borrow and don't repay anything, and three, full repayments, and four, interest only. As a consumer, if we're looking at this, we want to see all the options. What we don't want is to get into something and then say, well, I would have done things differently if I thought I had to pay the loan back, or if I didn't know I didn't have to pay any of it back, whatever it might be, right? The more information we have up front, the better decision we can make. Let's progress on. So when it comes to college funding, using a life insurance policy has several benefits. One is just the basic benefits that anyone who's watched any of these webinars or any of our videos has heard come out of my mouth 10 million times, that a cash value life insurance policy is a safe, liquid, and if we set everything up properly, it's a big if, tax-free account that we can position money. Now, when it comes to the liquidity, in particular with college planning, funds can be used for any purpose, meaning it does not need to be college, because an alternative to college funding is what? A 529 plan, and that's used for college planning exclusively. Now, 529 plans have great advantages, right, with how taxes work with those. We can also have them tied to the market, yield greater results. A big disadvantage is they can be used for what? College planning. A huge advantage to a cash value life insurance policy is that the funds may be sheltered for college planning purposes. So what that means, now this depends on the state we live in and the timing of when we start a policy. We can't start a policy and dump a huge amount of cash in the day before our kids start school. A lot of states, again, we always want to check with the state, with the college and everything. We want to be upfront, but a lot of states do not require that cash value holdings be disclosed as an asset. So if we're applying for financial aid and we have to disclose our assets, a lot of times the cash value buildup is sheltered. The reason why, right, is this. If dad has a policy where he's the owner and the beneficiary, say it's a whole life policy, he's stuffing it with cash, but there's also life insurance. There's a death benefit. Dad plans to put son or daughter through school. They're applying for financial aid. They say, okay, you've got $150,000 in cash value life insurance, in the cash values. We want to go go after that before we give you aid. If they touch that, what happens? We know the death benefit decreases. The argument that often holds up is, wait a minute, the death benefit there is for my family, it's income protection in the event anything happens to dad. So if we touch that, it messes with other areas of finance. That's often where it's protected in that respect. This is very high level. Again, we want to check with our state we live in, the college as well. But a lot of times we have protection. We can shelter it from financial aid. That's one of the reasons why. The last piece here I like is using as a student loan for our children. A lot of times children are going to need loans to pay for school, right? Or the family will need to take out loans. Maybe the parents are going to help pay for it or pay for it altogether. The nice thing here is that a policy loan can be treated however we want. I mean, it's a private contract, if you want to call it that. We have control over everything. There's no institution coming to us saying you have to pay it back at a certain rate or certain time. So if dad says, okay, son, I'm going to loan out $50,000 a year for 4 years to pay for your college, and that money comes from his life insurance policy, from dad's life insurance policy, dad has taken out policy loans to pay for the son's college. Now, he can give the son the option. He might require it, depending on the family relationship. These are just ideas for everyone to be aware of, not saying you should or should not do anything. Is the child can repay the loan to the parent's policy. If we repay a policy loan, what happens? Cash value is restored. Death benefit is restored. Right? So a way that this can be positioned, especially to the children as they're graduating college, as they're starting to mature, grow up, is, okay, if you pay this loan back, what's going to happen is it's going to increase your inheritance down the road. Because you and your brother, you and your sister are listed as the beneficiaries. The money's eventually going to go to you guys anyway. If you don't pay it back, you may have something still, but it'll be substantially less. And we're going to look at that in models that show paying loans back and not paying anything back. But it's a nice way to still bill a loan to an individual. And if the child pays a loan back to an institution, what happens? They pay that loan back and it's satisfied. It's done. Money's gone though. Whereas with this, they're keeping money within the cycle. It's within the family system. Eventually, that death benefit's going to flow to the child. And at the same time, if it's paid back, dad's going to have access to that as well as it builds up his cash values. So we're going to look at some models. Before we do, the one thing to use a policy for college or for anything really is it requires us funding the policy. We've got to capitalize the account. It's going to take time. If we have a child that has to go to school within a couple months, yes, you can get money into a policy to use it for that. Depending on the timing, you might be able to shelter some of it. But within a couple months, or even the first couple of years, we're not going to have a positive return. We're going to take a hit in the aspect of putting a dollar in and having less. So it does take time to build up the account to really make the best use of it. Let's look at some spreadsheets. Before we do that, actually, let's just demonstrate the policy we had designed. So what we're going to look at is a 40-year-old male. Again, we're going to look at Guardian, and we're going to exercise that index feature. Clicked it on at 100%. From an illustrative rate, what this assumes, this rate, it comes out to about 6.46%. The illustrative rate is about 8.46. However, with the 2.4%, I mean, with the 2% charge for the index feature, the net comes out to 6.4. And again, just like the webinars we went over with gross dividends and such, this is a gross. These will be the net, we're going to show the net returns on the Excel spreadsheets. Okay. So first thing we want to look for, we've got Guardian, we've got the index feature, we've got a 40-year-old male, and we are going to assume that the college expenses start at age 50 after the 10th year. He's going to pay in $30,000 a year, but going back to policy design, what I want to look at is if I make a contribution of $30,000, the first thing I want to make sure I do is maximize the returns. A lot of times people get caught up in the concept, here's how great it is being used for college. Okay, that's the end goal, that's the end game, but how do I maximize my cash value? Maximize my IRR, maximize my opportunity to use it for something else if something else comes along the way other than just using it for college. So to maximize returns, if I've got 30 going in, money can go where? Premium or cash? There's the splits. So here is my underlying insurance premium. That's the whole life policy I got that I have with that $3,000 premium. This extra $1 million and change. This is a term rider, which was the most cost-efficient way get my MEC limit up where I needed it. The cost of this term rider is also disclosed, just so we have all the details of this illustration. There's the yearly cost, $550. So what this particular illustration is going to show, and this is going to match the spreadsheet because we pulled the data directly from it, is funding it with $30,000 for 10 years, up until it came time to pay college. At that point, zero out of pocket. We've got models that will demonstrate loans as well, but here we've got the growth. This continues to grow. All right, 371, 521 in year 10. Let's look at the spreadsheet. Let's make this a little bit bigger for everybody. Perfect. So the first example we will look at here is a worst case scenario. So on the left, we've got the Guardian policy we just looked at through the detailed ledger. We just simplified things. Policy used for growth. Same $30,000 for 10 years. In the 10th year, identical cash value to what we looked at, 371, 521. We have the annual internal rate of return. So this does not factor in the average returns other than the first year. It is what I am earning year over year. My break-even point is between years 3 and 4 here. By year 4, I've paid in 120. I've got a gain at this point, small, but I have a gain. And then this just shows, okay, I'm paying in 30, the growth on cash, what's the net returns year over year? And remember, the gross illustrated return in this particular example is about 6.46%. We've touched on this in prior webinars. It's never going to come near this. These returns are the net year-over-year returns. That's what we want to be aware of. So let's compare this then to the loan model. That's what we want to look at here. So here, we've got a comparison. So at year 10, cash value, death benefit, exactly the same. IRRs, exactly the same. Now, we are going to pull out four $50,000 loans to pay for college in this example. So here's the college tuition coming out. Okay. Here's the loan interest. So this example will assume zero repayments. We don't pay any loan interest, nothing like that. So what this means is the loan interest is tacked onto my balance and it's compounding. My loan balance is compounding as a result. Okay? The immediate impact, so if my loan balance is $52,250 at the end of year 11, after I took that loan out and the interest fully accrued, I don't have to pay it back. What the insurance company is doing, they're going to collateralize my death benefit. Right? If you have a calculator and you're doing the math, you're going to see a $52,250 reduction on the death benefit on the example on the left compared to the right. The cash value, I like to term as my line of credit. I'll always see a reduction there when I pull money out because the cash value is the gauge determining what I can actually pull from the account. I can't borrow from the death benefit. It's what I have in cash is what I have access to. Now here, loan interest continues to accrue because I'm not paying anything. Balance is compounding. And what is critical to note here is when you see these cash values in greens, if we look at 860, 321, and death benefits, 951, is these are the net figures. You can see that if we compare it to the examples on the left. They're substantially higher. So the examples on the right are the net figures, meaning if here this individual dies at age 60, and he's paid zero on the loans, loan balance is 304. He dies, his beneficiaries get a net of 951,000. This is factoring the net death benefit after it satisfies the loan as well. Similar to the cash value, right? If this loan balance has accrued and he decides, hey, I'm done with this thing, I'm gonna cash out, or how much money can I access? It's the net cash value. He's got another 321 in here. So for a worst case scenario here, this is not that bad. And what I mean when I say that is these are the net year-over-year returns. Right? As the loan balance grows, we see it gradually pull it down. Even at that, with that said, my values continue to climb north. I'm still yielding well over 4% per year as far as a tax-free yield. And this is important to see because in most cases, what we've seen is when one is illustrating policy loans for college or whatever it might be, it's always, here's how great it looks if you pay it back and if you pay it back with extra interest. Look at the worst case scenario, just like what we see here. If I don't pay anything back, what's the impact on my values? Same thing if I've got to take out another 50K because my son or daughter dropped out of a couple classes each year, they had to take another year. That kind of stuff is what we want to be aware of. What's the impact in a worst case scenario? If we look at that, we won't have buyer's remorse down the road. I would have went this way, but George didn't tell me. All right, let's continue. Or Steve didn't tell me. So let's look at a full repayment option. Let's make this a little bit bigger. Okay. And this one will be interesting, in particular with the indexing feature. So what we have here is on the left, identical policy, just growth. 10 years in, 371, 521. There's my net year-over-year returns. Okay, that's great. Example on the right, loans in full repayment. First 10 years, identical. Then I pull out loans for 4 years and don't pay anything, not even any loan interest when I'm pulling out loans. My focus is on the college. I don't have to worry about any policy payments. Okay. Now, what I want to highlight here is look at the IRR when I'm just letting it sit and grow compared to pulling out loans here. even when I start to pay it back. When there's a loan balance, IRRs are better than the no repayment scenario, but they're less compared to what it would look like if I just let it sit and grow. And this is not a guardian dividend option here. So this is a little bit of a curveball, but again, in providing as much information as we can, notes from a prior video. Okay, so with the guardian index feature, just to explain why my IRR was less in the repayment option, because if that was non-direct recognition, everything's going to be fully restored to exactly what it would have been if I just let it sit and grow. So IPF is their indexed participation feature. It's illustrating a net of about 6.46%. Now Guardian is a direct recognition account policy. How they work is if I have the basic dividend option at 5.85%, their loan interest rate is 6%. If I borrow any borrowed funds, what happens is they credit a 6% dividend to. So I still earn interest on everything. It's just adjusted. They're recognizing the fact that I have a loan outstanding. Why I'm going into this is when we go back to the spreadsheet, the leveraged funds, the money that I have borrowed out, the loan balance, is not receiving the dividend rate, or I'm sorry, the indexed rate that's still in cash value. Just like the dividend rate, it's 6% if I elect the fixed loan rate option. Now there's ways after so long to make a Guardian account a non-direct recognition account. That's a good topic for another webinar, because I don't want to just focus on Guardian here. We just usually use Mass Mutual with a non-direct recognition for loan models, but best to show some variety. Anyway, main point before I go off on rambling is over here, this is illustrating the indexed crediting rate credited to my entire bucket of cash. And over here on the right, it's showing any money still in cash is receiving the indexed crediting rate. And any money loaned, so loan balance, I'm still earning interest on, but it is not 6.4%. In this case, it's a truly reduced rate. That is why when I'm paying it back, and even when it's paid back, I have a lower IRR and a lower cash value and death benefit. Good items to be aware of, right? That's the main thing here. The more we know, the better decision we can make. Main point is when we borrow and repay, my cash value for the most part is fully restored. I'm still earning north of 5%. If it's paid back at year 30, close to $1 million in cash and $1.5 million in life insurance. I can use my money for other opportunities all along the way, actually. If I look at the loan and interest-only repayment, you're going to see a similar relationship with the IRRs. So here's the example on the left. Exact same thing, just growth, death benefit, annual IRR. Here's the same policy. Only here, I pull out $50,000 a year, and immediately, I start paying the loan interest. I don't let any loan interest hack onto the balance. What happens as a result? Well, that loan balance, I never paid it down. So I still earn a dividend on it, but it's reduced from the 6.4 indexed crediting rate that we have for the scenario. Main point here, we are paying for college with the cash value policy. We've sheltered the funds. We just threw some extra information in here to do more than just show how it works for college with the index feature and the direct recognition component. So those are the main slides we wanted to go through. And if you like any of this literature or these pieces, let us know, especially the detail ledgers, which provide the formal data from the insurance company, which we always want to see if we're looking at these or customized policy. So that's a great stopping point. Let's open the floor for questions. Please use the chat box. Does anyone have any questions? All right, I saw a question come through. I have a 529 with approximately $120,000 in value, 80K contributions I could pull and use for the policy. Would you recommend this strategy? Good question. So depending on your situation, I mean, pulling funds from a 529 can sometimes result in a taxable event. And also, if your kids are close to college and you've got that fund, those funds already designated towards college planning, maybe in your best interest to use it, that you've already built up the value. We could certainly look at it. What I might recommend is if you're still contributing towards the 529, redirecting those contributions or looking at a comparison before you just make any decision, but maybe redirecting some of the contributions. But we could put a personalized proposal for you together as well. Can email that to you. Sure. Any other questions? Okay. Well, appreciate everyone taking some time to meet this evening. We will talk to you all next week. And if you have questions that I come up at another time, feel free to respond to the email you received the invitation from or email us directly just at our info at IBC Global Inc. account. Have a good evening, everybody.